Praise God, praise God. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. We do want to welcome everyone here this morning. We do want to welcome all our Facebook people that watch us every Sunday. And just anointing of God just to watch the preaching part of our service. But we do want to welcome you. And we pray. Is it on? Yeah, it's working. Sometimes I can't hear you back. And but we do want to welcome every one of you and we just pray. The Spirit of the Lord will be upon your heart, upon your life, and that He will lead and guide you in the right direction in what He has prepared for you this day. You know, the enemy will come in like a flood, it says, trying to do certain things. But God says He will lift up our standard. Remember, God's in control. Slewfoot isn't. God is in control. You might say, what's all the craziness in the world that happened many years ago? But God is still in control. It says in Isaiah 54, I think verse 17, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Zero. That God will lift up the standard and He will stop whatever limit of time that needs to be stopped. But you know, what a God we serve. What a God we serve, people. If you have your Bibles, lift up your Bibles and let's make our declaration before you. Say, this is life. I will honor it today. As this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, this book right here, let me tell you, is the book that's alive. Oh, I tell you, it's alive, people. Because of the Spirit of God that came upon men as they wrote the scriptures. Don't ever think that it was just written by man's inspiration. God had to use men to write it down. But the Spirit of God would come upon these men as they were moved by the Spirit of God and they'd start writing. And the Spirit of God has formed this book for us to have till this day. You know, I told you last week that the big celebration was happening in Israel this week. The dedication of the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem, the everlasting city, people. Everything surrounds Israel. Everything surrounds Jerusalem. So that's a great event, people, that God is moving upon the people, upon this nation. Thank God we have a president that has moved. That's a miracle, people. And so we need to remember, everything is getting in order for His coming. He's coming, people. And it's nothing to be frightened of. It's to be faint that He's coming for His people one day. Because He says it in His word. It says that He will split the eastern skies. The trump will blow. My God. It doesn't say exactly who will blow it, but the trump will blow. And at that trump, it says that Jesus Christ Himself is coming, and He's coming for the saints. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remaining will be gathered together with them, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Amen.
Praise God! What a God we serve. What a God we serve. You might say, is that the end of the world? No. Then other things happen. But we want to thank our Lord for the precious things that He has given unto us. Don't ever forget to worship and to thank Him for your families, your church, your pastors, your husbands, your wives. All these people just thanking Him for what He's going to do. Amen. I want you to turn, if you would, to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. That's in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 12. I want you to look, if you would, to to verse 23 and 24. Verse 23 and 24 says this, "And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come, and the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit." Now, this particular two verses basically has two implications. Or if you want to say it, you can say it two interpretations of it. The first one is talking about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The second one is talking about humanity when they accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. It says this, that except a grain of corn falls to the ground and dies, if it does not die, it stands alone. It's like putting the grain just on top of the farmland and not planting it deep within the soil. But if you take, I mean, probably every one of us has tried to plant a garden. Some of us have not been successful. Some of us have been successful. Some have been semi on certain things. But you see, we know most of the time we may not start out with seeds. We kind of cheat a little bit. We go to the agriculture center in Gaydon or Kaplan, the schools, and we get the little plants that already started. It gives us a chance of the tomato plants and the cucumber plants and the bell peppers and the banana peppers and all that stuff to really have a good chance. And all we do is take a little white cup off and we make a little hole and put it in and put some water and we see it grow. Okay. But it's hard to take some seeds and you put it in the ground. You make a little hole, you till up the ground, you got to work that ground, make sure it's well worked. And you put that seed in the ground, you put water in there, and you cover it up. You know, some people put cans around it, you know, to make sure they know where it's at, and stuff like that, market, you know. And so every day you go out there and you try to take care of the weeds that are growing, that are going to grow. You try to take it because every weed that grows, what does it do? It takes nourishment away from the plant. And we don't want the weed to have any nourishment. We want to kill it. You know, that's why we use Roundup and all kind of other stuff to kill it. We want just that plant to grow with the fruit on it. But as those seeds are in there, the thing that has to happen with the seed is that it has to die. And as the scripture says, unless this seed or the grain of corn dies, it cannot bring forth the fruit or the stalk or the plant that needs to come up. And when it starts to die from itself, the round of the casing that it's in, the shell, breaks open and that new plant starts to come up out that ground. And you start to see the stalk of that plant and certain leaves and whatever else that comes with that certain plant. Well, that's just like us, people. When we have given our hearts to the Lord willingly, you know, we probably could go back and I can tell you exactly the date almost, the time, the year, where I was at when I first gave my heart to the Lord. It was that impactful to me. It was that, and I was only 15 years old. And I hadn't killed anybody that I know of. You know, there was no big monumental sins, if you want. But sin is sin. It keeps you out of heaven, you know. But I can go back to that time and know where I got saved, just like probably you could go back And you can remember those that time when that person prayed with you and you received Christ as your Savior. And you say, Father, forgive me of all of my sins, Lord God. Forgive me for all these things that I have done. And Father, I accept Jesus as the Lord of my life, my Savior, my Lord, my God. And from this day forward, I will live for you. Some of us can go back 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 50 years. A long time. Some might have been last week. But from that time period, God has to clean us up. God has to take that seed of His Word, of receiving Jesus Christ as the Lord, as our Lord and as our God that He places in us, and as the Holy Spirit comes in us and starts to clean things up on the inside of us, taking care of those things. You know, probably each and every one of us could go back in time when we got saved, and we could say, thank God I'm not there anymore as far as my life. Thanking God for where we are today and how He has taught us how to listen to Him, how He has taught us His Word, how He has encouraged us and helped us, and how we have seen our God in a big way. You know, the children of Israel, they saw the 10 plagues come upon the Israelite, the Pharaoh, and upon Egypt. They even saw the last plague come their way also, with the firstborn dying, if the blood wasn't over the doorposts of their home. They probably didn't see, that generation didn't see the miracle as miraculously Pharaoh said, take your people out of here. And Moses started marching on, as led by a pillar of fire by day, or by night, and a cloud by day. Miraculous! The cloud was to cover them, to keep them from the sun. And the impact of it. The fire by night was to keep them warm at night, and to keep the animals away. How God miraculously took care of them. My God, we are children of the living God. And how God will take care of us. And as Moses started to march on, and he got to the Red Sea. Okay, Lord. Mountains on the other side, either side of him. We know the story. And Pharaoh's on, marching on in the back. And God told their leader, Moses, just stretch forth that rod that I've given, the one I turned into a serpent. Look. And when Moses took that rod and pointed it to the Red Sea, he didn't know what was going to happen, people. But all of a sudden, there was a wind that started to blow. And that wind was so forceful that it opened the Red Sea either side. And the mud wasn't mud anymore. It was dry. And they started crossing that Red Sea. That's the miracle power of our God, people. Don't ever limit your God in what He can do. Don't limit your God. My God, He's powerful. Oh, Slewfoot, and the world will try to tell you that Jesus is nothing, that He is just another little God on the face of all the other gods. No, 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 no. He is the Savior of the world. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's the great God, Jehovah. Praise God Almighty. That's the King that you serve. And let me tell you, there's nothing too difficult that God can't step in by the Holy Spirit and change by the power of God. See, when we let the seed of that word come in us, Him, the Holy Spirit, the Godhead, the third person of the Godhead, to come and live on the inside of us, look, He's taking His abode in you. Look, you are His child. And everything that affects you affects Him. And He tries to mold and make us. Can you imagine as the children of Israel got to that sea, and all of a sudden they saw Moses point the rod, and they saw what God could do. My God. How many miracles have you seen in your own personal life? How many times has God intervened for you? I mean, I can count, I don't know how many times that God has kept me from being destroyed and wrecked in a car. I don't know how many times. I can name you one by an 18-wheeler. Jess and I shouldn't be here today. 15, 20 years ago, on a curve. I didn't do anything wrong. Just the 18-wheeler in the back of me didn't see me. And really, he should have crashed into us and killed us. But oh, our sovereign God said no. His appointed time and her appointed time is not today. Amen. Look, we serve a God that's in control. Amen. We serve a God that's going to take control if we allow him to. Let that seed die, let that thing die to self. You know, the one thing that God has tried to do probably in every one of us, when he comes and lives inside of us, is take out the things that should not be there. And probably every one of us has a big laundry list that God has to continually work. And then when we get over things and God just does a miracle, we see the mighty hand of our God, we see the mighty power of our God, something else happens. And we see, okay, Lord, help me in this area. And the power of Almighty God. Because you have to remember, we're not living on our own. We've been bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus. He is our King, our Lord, our God. We are His. We've been bought with the greatest price ever paid for humanity. And He will defend. He will help. And He will stand firm on the things of you, on the Word of God. That's the power of our God, people. Look, believe God for the impossible. If you knew what I was believing for this church, you'd think it's impossible. But that's okay. Because the things that are impossible with man is possible with God. And that's in your life too. What's impossible with man is possible with God. I said, well, I can't do that. Well, if the Holy Spirit tells you, and the Holy Spirit says, stand firm on the Word of God, you stand firm on the Word of God. And you believe God for what He can do. What He can do. That seed has to die. You know, Jesus came. And He had to die upon the cross. And I know we as human beings, Christians, He lives in us. We love Him. And we wouldn't want to see Him die. It's like when our kids get hurt or our spouses get hurt or family members or close people in church, we want to help them. We want to protect them. We want to go and be with them. You know, it's like we want to do something for them. Our God is our protector and Lord. Jesus died on the cross because He had to. The scripture says, without the shedding of blood is no remission of sin. Without the shedding of blood is no forgiveness of sin. Without the shedding of blood. And it had to be a blood that was perfect. You know, in the Old Testament, they killed animals. They had sacrifices constantly to cover the sins of Israel, to cover them so that God could bless them. But when Jesus came on the scene, He didn't come to cover. He came to eliminate.
Amen.
And let me tell you, you and I go before our God and before our Lord and we say, Father, forgive me. Forgive me. I messed up, Lord. I messed up. I said the wrong thing. I did the wrong thing. Did something not right. Whatever it is. And we go to our God and we ask forgiveness. My God, the Lord Jesus Christ, because of what Jesus did at Calvary's cross, eliminates it. And our Father looks at us like we never have done it before. That's the kind of God we serve. Jesus had to die upon the cross because of the sin that has come from humanity, to pay that price so we can be reconciled back unto the Father. The Father was here, humanity's here, and Jesus had to reconcile the two so that they can come together in unison like it was in the beginning of time, beginning of creation. I want you to turn to another scripture. I want you to turn to Mark chapter 8. Jesus' mission on coming to the earth was to die upon Calvary's cross. Look at Mark chapter 8, verse 31. Says this, and he began to teach them, his disciples, and the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders, and of the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Now here, Jesus is telling them what's going to happen, that the Son of Man has to die, and in 3 days he'll be raised up. Now look at this, verse 32. And he spoke that saying openly. Means that he kept saying it over and over again. He kept telling his disciples over and over again, I'm telling you that I have to die. My blood has to be shed. He kept telling them over and over. And in 3 days, I'm going to rise up. You see, this is what the disciples wanted. And I can't blame them. They saw their Messiah, Jesus Christ. And they said, let's set him up as king. Right then and there. That was not God's plan. It would not happen. It could not happen. Because he did not shed blood for the remissions of sin. That's how ugly sin is to God. It took the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, to die, to pay the price for it. But look at this. 32. And he spoke that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Now look, I don't know about you, but I would never try to rebuke my Lord. It says that they even think, as Jesus kept saying, disciples, I'm going to die, and I have to. I'm going to shed my blood. It's going to be on the cross. And in 3 days, I'm going to rise up. Peter finally had enough. And he goes and he puts his hand on his shoulders. He says, Jesus, no. And we know this. We never tell Jesus no. He is our master, our commander, and our Lord. And it says that Jesus had to rebuke him. And he said this. He said, Satan, because he knew of the spirit it was from. I mean, he didn't even say Peter. He said, Satan, get thee behind. Now, how do you think Peter felt? His Lord, his Lord and Savior, he's trying to protect him, and he don't want him to die, Peter. And Jesus comes back and says, Satan, I rebuke you, looking at Peter. And Peter looks, oh, my God, what did I do? See, what Jesus was doing was rebuking the spirit behind the words that Peter was speaking to him, you see, because Peter was out of line. See, our Lord and Savior is so patient with us. We got to allow the Spirit of God to work in us and through us as that seed of the faith, of the knowledge of Jesus Christ is planted in us. We got to let the Spirit of God move in us. Look, let me tell you this. You know how many church splits there have been in all these churches all over the place? A lot. And you don't want to know why? Because of selfishness. And that doesn't look good on the one on the top as they look to the church. Because you see this, we're supposed to be the beacon of light where the Spirit of God is. But you see, when we don't allow the Spirit of God to work, to continually work, self comes in. Selfishness comes in. Self-preservation. Now, that doesn't mean we don't take care of ourselves, but yet we let the Spirit of God move through us. And in Galatians chapter 5, Galatians, can you put those scriptures up about the fruit of the Spirit? It says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. See, what God, as we gave our hearts to the Lord the first time, and He came in and abides in us, what He's trying to do is put that fruit in us. And we got to allow Him to do it. We got to allow love to flow through our lives. That doesn't mean, you know, that we let everybody walk over us. That means you stand up and you tell the truth. That's love, when you tell the truth in love. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. That's what God is trying to produce in each and every one of us. That seed that He's placed in us, He wants it to grow. I said, well, how can that seed grow? Well, God has given us some tools. Number one, we seek the Lord. We pray. We just pray. We say, Lord, I come to you this morning. I worship you. I praise you. I thank you for who you are, the great God. Thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you for giving your son Jesus to die upon the cross for you. Thanking him for your family, your friends, your church, your pastor, all these things. And number two, and as you pray, and as you have your prayer list, you do those things. But also God has given us his word. God has given us his word to produce those things. Don't forsake the map that God has given us. Because if, you know, especially when we were young, maybe always, you know, we like the treasure, find the treasure. You know, you have the map, the old map, you have the X, you know, and you're trying to find, you know, where that tree is, and you go 20 feet this way, then 10 feet that way, and something's buried there, somebody put it, whatever. The map that has been given to the Christians is his word. Don't forsake it. That is our map. That is the thing that God has given to us, written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that God came upon men. And I'll say this, Jewish men. That was God's people. You want to know why they hated so much? Because they have given us the word. And the enemy out there hates the Jewish people. Now, you know, they don't even believe in Jesus. They don't believe their Messiah has come. That's why God had to take what he promised to the Jews and give it to the Gentiles that would receive it. Because it was the Jewish people that God chose to spread the gospel. Thank God there are some that are coming to the realization of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God. But let the fruits of the Spirit of God grow in us. Let those things, you might say, well, Pastor, things happen to me and I react and I do. I understand that. But then you sit back after a while, you say, okay, now, Lord, how can I learn from this? You know, how can I not just blurt out what comes to my mind. You know, what just comes up. How can I stop that, Lord? You know, hey, we've all been there. We've all been there. We put the shoe in our mouth and we're going, oh, Lord, we messed up this time. But this is what you do. You go to God and you say, Father, forgive me. And Lord, help me to learn. Help me to learn. See, that's the progress of things. That's what God is working on each and every one of us. God has called each and every one of us to be the light of the world, people. Let's just be the light. Yes, we may make mistakes. So what? Say, Pastor, say, so what? Get on your knees, get along with God, and say, Father, forgive me and help me. God didn't say we would be perfect, but yet we should strive to have perfection. But he didn't say we'd be perfect. We just need to keep our faith in Christ and what Jesus did at Calvary's cross, and the Spirit of Almighty God will flood and help us to live a life that is pleasing unto him. See, I don't have to strive to be a Christian. You don't have to strive to be a Christian. That means Christ-like. You are a Christian. You don't have to strive to be that Christian. You are a Christian, Christ-like. And we're asking God to produce those fruit, that fruit in us, to help us to live a life that is pleasing unto him. That's the kind of God we serve. Let me tell you, any God that could open the Red Sea and they walk on dry ground, what a God we serve.
Amen.
Any God that can take the walls of Jericho and, let me tell you, push them down into, not just knocking over. You might say, well, why didn't he just knock? I mean, the walls were so thick that two chariots could roll on it at the same time. That's thick. That's like two cars. But God is so good that he didn't have them topple over. And all the children of Israel would have to walk over rocks trying to get to the enemy. What God did was he took his foot, if you want to say it that way, and just stomped it into the ground. Boom. It's like the wall became a sidewalk around Jericho. And the children of Israel, that's the kind of God you serve. And the children of Israel just rampaged that place and destroyed it. That's the kind of God we serve, people. That can take little things and make them big. That can take big problems and make them small. That can take a problem and solve it. My God. Don't ever forsake your God. Don't ever look away from him. Always look to him. That doesn't mean we always want to. Because I know even like Adam and Eve, when they messed up, they took off. You know, and the Father would come down every evening and would talk with them. And that night, he knew what happened. He knew they ate of the fruit. But it's not the fruit so much as the disobedience. And what happened to them. But he still came down, even though he knew they would not do it. When you don't want to get with God, you always get with him in the morning, or in the noontime, or at night. And you don't feel like it, you just still get up and you go. Because the Father's with you. So merciful. So kind, so gentle. And you just cry before him. You say, Lord, I don't know what to do. And let me tell you, the grace of God is there. The love of God is there. I'll just use my lethal example because I don't like it. You say, Job, just come. I'll help you. I'll be with you. I'll encourage you. The anointing of God will be upon you. The power and the presence of God. And you get up strong before him, saying, Lord, you are my God, my Lord, and my Savior. And you put your faith back in Christ again and what he did at Calvary's cross. My God, and the power of Almighty God, the Holy Spirit comes in. Oh, my God, it helps us and encourages his people. See, we're not on this journey alone like all the other religions. activity. We're on this journey by the faith and power of our God that helps us to get through. That's the anointing of God. My God, I'm a child of His today. You are a child of His today. And you'll be a child of His tomorrow, next week, next year. Because He loves you. Praise God. Praise God. Ever seek the Father. Ever seek Him. As the prodigal son, and I'll close with this. The father gave him everything he wanted, all of his inheritance, everything. And it says the father had a calf that he kept feeding because he knew his son would come home. His son had left and did all kind of riotous living. That means he did all kind of evil. He just ran and spent everything the father had worked for. A half of it, you know. And the father sitting on the porch had his servants feeding that calf, saying, one day my son's coming home. People, keep believing God for your sons and your daughters.
Yes.
Keep believing.
Yes.
Keep believing. Keep believing. Keep believing for your spouse. Keep believing for your future spouse. My God. Just keep believing. And let me tell you, one day, he got up like every day he'd get up and sit on that rock. Wait. And all of a sudden he saw something that looked kind of like his son.
Amen.
Oh. And after a while he stood up. And he said, that's him. And it says that he took off running. That's God that runs to us. That runs to us. We're nothing, but in God's eyes, we're everything to Him. In God's eyes, we're everything to Him. We're so precious to Him that He shed the blood of His innocent son. My God. And He ran out to that boy, hugged him, kissed his neck, brought him back, gave him a robe, gave him sandals, and a ring on his finger. The ring signified the kingship, my God, the robe and the sandals. And he had a party. Our God cares for you. Let the seed that He placed on the inside of you grow. Don't stagnate. Let it grow. Grow in Christ like never before. Seek Him. Seek Him. Let the power of Almighty God work within your heart. And they say, Jesus.